Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
We're live in studio with Jesse Malin this afternoon. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
So great to have you here, as well as Alan over there.
Hello.
Hello. And we got a lot going on and on the road all over the place.
We're busy running around the Midwest this week, and then we head back to New York, and then we got the whole full U.S. tour. So you're out there traveling salesmen, the St. Mark's Social.
Jesse Malin, what's this first one you're going to do for us today?
This is off the new record, and it's called Burn in the Bowery.
Wasted late last night, a young girl asked me for a light. Felt like I've been here before, with the demon life is an open door. Come on down, I've been burning all that's left inside of me. Coming down the generation, haunted by the history. Had a girl who shared my name, stood like a plow, she fell like rain. Tattooed knuckles that spell lonely.
From Studio A and the track Burning the Bowery. It's off the new album Love It to Life, Jesse Malin and the St. Mark's Social. It's a solo or acoustic solo show tonight. Well, not necessarily solo. We've got Alan joining you too. But it'll be different than the one coming up in September, where it'll be full band with the St. Mark's Social. But tonight it's at the Treehouse, and that doors are 8 o'clock for that. Main Street Gospel will perform. And Ghost Shirt, New York lifer. And speaking of the Bowery, does this have something to do with the bar you own or the Bowery Ballroom? Those are two separate entities.
It has
right?
to do with a traditional street in New York, the Bowery, which has been, you know, Skid Row for many years. And then I was been refurbished with Whole Foods and galleries and museums and bars. And it's just a place where, you know, for me, I grew up at CBGB's, going to hardcore matinees and going to see bands. And then that's changed a lot. And I found myself after my last record kind of back in New York off the road and just checking what was going on. And people were getting broke again. The recession had hit pretty hard. And, you know, what they thought they could polish up, the ghosts and spirits of maybe the darker recession days started to crawl back out onto the Bowery. And the song is about rebirth and like the Phoenix Act, you know, renaissance, mm-hmm. things going through the changes and then coming up again. And I think that's a process that happens in New York a lot. And so it becomes my metaphor.
Because you've been there your whole life. So you've seen the changes, good and bad. And
yeah, I think it's happening all over the world. And I think New York used to be its own thing, its own entity. I keep saying this. But then, you know, the chain stores and everything started to come into New York. And we became more part of America as opposed to our own planet. And, you know, everywhere I go, I kind of look for the unique things about that town. You know, I'll see what's in Columbus tonight. You know, that's the thing. It's like, hey, come to New York, buy a switchblade, you know, get a hot dog, whatever. So you kind of expect that. And traveling the world through music is such a great thing because, you know, we get to have a good time, but then we get to see things and not just be vacationers. We're on a mission from God sometimes. So, no, we become, you know, pirates and we get to drive around in a van or a bus and, you know, get to put our team together and get to spittle over a microphone and get free beer.
Jesse Maloney's live from Studio A. The new album is Love It to Life. You started your career quite early. Some people aren't even have picked up a guitar at 13. Am I right in saying you had already started a band? And
yeah, I started in a talent show in school, but I started my first hardcore band when I was 12. It was called Heart Attack, and we toured around with the Dead Kennedys and GBH and the Misfits and got to do that. It was before they had Just Say No, you know.
Uh-huh. So that was, so your first talent show then, when, how old were you at that point?
Oh, then I was imitating Kiss. I was spitting ketchup and wrapping myself in tinfoil. I was about 11, and we did the talent show in Queens, New York, PS193, and they seemed to like that, the spitting of the ketchup and the rolling around and the fire and all, but then I started to write my own songs, and CBGB's had a policy on Monday night. They had auditions, and you could come down. You had to play original music, and at that time, the cover band thing on the East Coast was very popular, Long Island, New Jersey, all those shore points. Everybody was trying to be Black Sabbath or Ozzy or Van Halen, and so to make original music, I think a lot of the clubs in the city would support that, so a couple of chords. I stopped practicing all the fancy stuff and just started writing songs. Bands like the Ramones were really inspirational that you could write a song with three or four chords and not have and get up there and do it, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
make it happen. So,
and then you've done, you know, of course the group with your the bands that you've been in, Degenerations is where you hooked up with Ryan Adams, who produced one of your solo records. Is that when you met him for the first time, or had you seen each other's bands?
In Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'd heard about this band, Whiskey Town, and I guess he was a fan of Degeneration. Pretty wild. We ended up in a parking lot of a club that's no longer there called The Brewery, and you know, we were by our bus or van, I can't remember, and we just started talking music, and here was this kid from the South and this New York Queens guy, myself, talking, you know, about Bad Brains and Neil Young and Sonic Youth, and then he eventually moved to New York, and we became drinking buddies and pals, and he said, yeah, I'd love to produce your first record. And I was scared to go solo. I thought if I wasn't in a band that I was going to be really exposed as like this serious adult thing, and I'd have to sit down and, you know, wear hush puppies or something and grow a mustache, and which is all fine. I might do that soon. But I still wanted to rock. And he was like, you can do that and still be, you know, a solo artist. And he had left Whiskey Town.
As he did, yeah.
So he was really inspirational and really supportive. And we made my first record in 5 days. We did it pretty much live. With some money that I got paid to leave a building for. A landlord bought a building. I had cheap rent, and it was on the safest block in New York where the Hell's Angels are across the street, and they watched the block. It's known as the safest block. And they gave me several thousand dollars, the landlord, to make to leave. And I made the record, and then I had to go apartment hunting and pay $1,800. But, that's what we do to make records, the
there
price. This is called Aftermath.
The city was changing. The cigarette hit the spot. Oh, a simple distraction from to have and have not. And the radio went silent, and all our heroes had died. Now you can buy revolution in any color or size. Stand on the corner watching people walk on, thinking about a photograph. How so many people choose a lesser evil, living in the aftermath. Well, she never got famous. She was the star of my life until we drifted like runoff for two ships in the night. Standing on the corner watching people walk on, thinking about a photograph. How so many people choose a lesser evil, living in the aftermath. Down a long, hard road, such a long, hard road to hold on and move on. And I hope she's happy, and I hope she's free. Somehow we choose our own destiny. Destruction to the valley of tears. Before it all went to voicemail and we rang in the ear. And the midnight martyrs, well, they still hang on the cross. You can die on the gutter, baby, and learn to live with the loss. Well, I've been standing watching people walk on, thinking about a photograph. How so many people choose a lesser evil, living in the aftermath. Well, I've been standing on the corner, everybody's talking, remember when we used to laugh. How so many people choose a lesser evil, never giving peace a chance. Down a long, hard road, such a long, hard road to hold on and move on. Down a long, hard road, such a long, hard road to hold on and move on, boys. So hold on. It's gone.
Beautiful. Jesse Malin live from Studio A. So their latest release, Love It to Life. And tell us a little bit about, well, there was a, before this album came out, maybe a year where you weren't playing or recording anything.
I had decided after my third solo record that I was going to make a covers record. And in Europe, they always want you to do these B-sides because they do singles over there that aren't on the album. So when you run out of songs, you're like, oh, let's cover a Clash song. Let's go do, you know, a Jim Croce song. And I start to play them live in the show, and I start to get really excited about, you know, tipping your hat, showing who your influences are. And mine go from Elton John to the Dead Kennedys and, you know, whatever. It's all over the place. And so I made a covers record called On Your Sleeve, and it was kind of funny. We toured behind it, and some of the songs ended up in supermarkets and Home Depots, and I still get phone calls. I heard your song at, you know, Key Food or at, you know, IKEA. And it's great, but I didn't write the song, so the publishing went to the people that wrote it. I found myself broke with the rest of the world and kind of back in New York and kind of confused. I was living on my sister's couch, and the publishing checks weren't coming in, and I wasn't really touring behind the covers record much, and I thought maybe I should do something else, and I thought about, you know, gynecologist, rabbi, you know, Hare Krishna, filmmaker, wedding singer. And I DJed some weddings, and I worked on a movie on this rock band, The Bad Brains. And I just did whatever I could to get by, a lot of DJing in clubs. And then I realized, you know, this is something that I need to do, and I got to continue to do this. A filmmaker approached me to write some songs for a film on J.D. Salinger. And I started writing, and the juices got flowing. And next thing you know, I had 25 songs, and we ended up in the studio with producer Ted Hutt. And we did what would be Love It to Life, you know, with the new band, the St. Mark Social. And so I got more excited. Songs were written more on electric guitar, and we've been out touring for the last 4 or 5 months. And I don't think I'll do anything else again unless I decide to rob banks or something.
All right. Hopefully you don't get caught there. But I want to touch base on that J.D. Salinger's topic, because you went to meet him to do an interview before you were trying to write the songs for this film. And will you tell us about that adventure and how Bruce Springsteen was maybe kind of an alibi for
you? Yeah, he was. It's kind of a funny story. You know, as a writer, you want to get as much information as possible. And this filmmaker asked me to write up, you know, a song or two or three about J.D. Salinger. And I'd read Catcher in the Rye as a kid. You know, we probably all have. But when you're forced to read something, it's really different than when, you know, you read it on your own and as an adult. And I wasn't, like, being graded on it. So I got to really get into this book and realize that this guy was really a rebel and a punk, and the story was so cool. And then I start to read about Salinger, who hasn't published a book since 1962, but he's one of the greatest American writers, and he happens to live 4 hours away from me. And so for research purposes, I decided to get in a car with my buddy, his friend Damien, and we went up to Cornish, New Hampshire, and we tried to find Mr. Salinger. He was alive then, and I got just to the house. We thought maybe I'd see him or get an idea for a song, or maybe he'd even want to talk to another writer, or who knows, just get a vibe. And before I could even get out of the car, the cops were behind us, and they started to ask a lot of questions, and they thought we looked like some kind of weirdos and dragged us down to the police station. I guess we do. And I've been in jail in New York for silly things like open container and been in the Tombs downtown, and I'm not really scared of that. But up there, you know, you see Deliverance, Blair Witch. I was kind of freaked out. And they got me to police station. They tried to really intimidate us. And I said I was a writer doing research for a song. And they left us sitting there sweating. And they went back and they looked up on the thing on the net. And they saw a video with me and Bruce Springsteen, Broken Radio, for my last record. And they realized I wasn't BSing them. And they let us go back to New York with a big warning. And I never got to see Salinger or meet him, but I wrote a bunch of songs, and he passed away. And
yeah.
So life went on, and there's a movie being made, and a bunch of songs appeared on Love It to Life, songs like The Archer and Lonely at Heart.
Still a great experience, though.
It yeah, and we survived. Some... You know, we didn't have to squeal or anything.
And talk about your work with Bruce Springsteen and your first encounter with him.
Oh, after I made my first record, The Fine Art of Self-Destruction, we got a phone call that, you know, he wanted me to do some music with him at a holiday show. And we're like, really? All right. Well, I know a couple Christmas songs. And then Bruce called and he was like, no, we're going to do some of your songs. And him and Max Weinberg and some of his band would back me up. And so we went down Asbury Park for rehearsals, and I thought, this is weird. I'm dreaming here. I'm a big fan. Actually, my dad turned me on to Bruce on the Nebraska record, and I always felt that he had a lot to say and was a powerful, great writer and just, you know, such a great performer. Suddenly, I'm standing on a stage in Asbury Park rehearsing, you know, by the shore in the middle of the winter, and we did three nights of this. It wasn't only one night where Bruce got to sing, you know, as my sideman and his band play some of my songs. It happened three nights, so we were like, wow, we get to do this again and again. And he's always been really supportive of a lot of groups, you know, the Gaslight Anthem or Mirage. He's just a cool guy to get to know. It's one of the perks, I guess, of making music. Like I was saying earlier, you get free beer and you get to travel, but sometimes you get to meet artists that you really looked up to.
Oh, yeah.
And meet them not just like, hey, can I get your autograph, Joe or whatever. It's like you get to hang and sit around. And then we did a record together, Broken Radio, which was a song on Glitter in the Gutter. And then we did a video. So it was, he's just very generous and very inspiring. And to see that man at whatever, 60 years old, play a 3-hour show and jump around, I mean, he's like the Iggy Pop of rock and roll, roots rock.
Jesse Mallon, he's live from Studio A. Before we go to one last song, will you tell us about the bars that you own? Do you have music there in New York City?
I have a bar called the Bowery Electric. You know, one of my dreams is a Sinatra kind of fantasy, like a mafia thing. Like, well, you know, when we're not playing music, what do we like to do? And hang around and listen to music and drink and talk about music and have a clubhouse. And when I was in the Degeneration days, we got publishing money, and I decided to put that into a club in New York, and that was my first club, but I didn't know what I was doing, so I'd go on the road, and everybody would drink free and steal, and I thought, well, whatever, I'm going to be a rock star, so I didn't run it like a business, and that got closed down by the city for dancing. It's another story.
Wow.
Giuliani days, yeah, it was like Footloose, but yeah, prohibition times. They were closing clubs without cabaret licenses. Very weird. No laughing either. No dancing. And then I decided to open another place in time with some more money, and somebody backed me up and was able to borrow some money and pay off the loans and just have a place. So you get to employ your family and friends, and we run the business a little tighter, but we've had a lot of great groups at Bowery Electric. We've done a residency there, but Green Day has played as Foxborough Hot Tubs and the Wolf Mother and Tiff Merritt and all kinds of people. So it's
kind of an eclectic mix of stuff you got.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just what I like. I mean, just good music's all over the map. It's just stuff from the heart, right?
All right. Well, Jesse, Alan, thank you both for being here today and taking the time out to chat with us and play some songs.
Thanks for having us. Yes.
Absolutely. Thanks again. And what's this last song you're going to do?
This one is called All the Way from Moscow.
Organize the distance. We won't be home for Christmas. Ooh, 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 ooh. Rain was falling on the golden arch. I felt your interest fading through the wire. And the gypsy kept on playing his nylon string guitar. All the way from Moscow to New York. And I watched the dirty river roll by. And I'll dedicate this feeling to the ones in my life. Watch the dirty river roll by. And I'll medicate the culture so you're high and dry. You don't get your money back yet. You don't get your money back yet. Ooh, 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 ooh. They said the sky was falling. They played the hits. She was born in 1980 from a Cold War kiss. She said, I believe in something, but I don't know why. My parents felt the same, but they never admitted. And I watched the dirty river roll by. And I dedicate this feeling to the ones in my life. Watch the dirty river roll by. And the medicate the culture so you're high and dry. And you don't get your money back yet. You don't get your money back yet. And I would have liked to been there, but I waited so damn long. And I had a funny feeling you were gone. And we partied in a wartime fog. And the gypsy kept on playing his nylon string guitar. All the way from Moscow to New York. And I watched the dirty river roll by. And I dedicate this feeling to the ones in my life. Watch the dirty river roll by. And we medicate the culture so you're high and dry. Christmas, gonna organize the distance. We won't be